lot of begrudging respect for like Bud Light and Budweiser, because they're saying like it's like in those low alcohol. That's like one of the reasons why these like small nano brewers never do like a Pilsner or a Kolsch or something like that, is like any flaws detectable.
Right.
Versus like these, yeah, you know, really high alcohol content beers with like a lot of hops and so on.
Sure. As soon as they make it an imperial,
yeah,
they cover the flaw. It makes sense.
And this has been beer talk.
Well, I mean, it's yeah, it's a slow but roll. And
funny story, talking about, should we
go ahead?
Let's introduce ourselves. And right.
I was going to say, we are the Worldwide IT Guys. I'm Dion.
I'm John.
This is Sean.
I'm Gavin.
What are you going
to
say, John?
I just came back to Sean saying taking a nap last weekend. I you know, got home last weekend from my trip, and I was so jet lagged and tired that I decided to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon. And my wife acted like I cheated on her. It was like,
oh, because you napped without her,
I don't know. I'm not sure what I did wrong.
Oh yeah,
bastard.
You traveled to Shanghai.
I was gone for a week.
We don't know what you did there. And the first thing you did when you came home was take a nap.
Not the first thing. It was, you know, we.
So
that is the worst part about having kids, is when you travel, your wife has been watching them alone. So you want to just like get home and rest, but your wife is like,
relief.
I want some goddamn relief.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you come in the door, you're jet lagged, you've been working, you know, and I understand where she's coming from. She does not understand where I'm coming from, which is basically handle these three assholes.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been dealing with them alone for 5 days.
So what you did last week in LA is much different than what John did in Shanghai. So
let's both business trips.
Both
business
trips.
But the thing about it was I got home Thursday night.
Yeah.
And within an hour of me landing and getting home, she went off and went running with some girlfriends.
Sure. I mean, because she's been waiting to do that for you to get
home. Then Friday night, she went out with girlfriends.
Sure. Yeah.
For drinks.
Gotcha. She was waiting
and
for you to get home.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and Saturday, I just needed a nap.
Yeah.
For an hour, and it didn't go over well.
No. You're a whore. Oh, what'd you do in Shanghai that you need a nap, John?
Wow. Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the world, somebody was in L.A.
I was at the midpoint between us here in Chicago and John in China.
Yep.
I was in L.A. I was doing some auditions that went well. I'm going to be on Comedy Central next year.
Cool.
Congrats.
This, one stand-up set.
So we now have to pay Sean more money to do this podcast.
Well, damn, you'd be surprised. I think if I worked an 8-hour shift at Radio Shack, I'd probably make more than what I'm going to make in this TV appearance. Maybe I'll even pick up a Radio Shack shift as a.
Well, they're closed. I'd go for more of like a Sears. Oh, wait, Sears is closing. So maybe,
Or is anything open?
Yeah, you're naming all the places that are out of business or going out of business.
I work on Amazon.com.
But it went well. Yeah, it was actually a you know what's funny? It was a blast. It was the best time I've ever had in L.A. Like,
nice.
I was telling you guys earlier,
I did
an experiment which allowed me to have more fun and saved me money. I said, I'm not going to rent a car. You know, you have to drive everywhere in L.A.
Right.
But I'm like, I think Lyft and Uber have gotten to the point where I'm going to spend less money driving out everywhere I want to go through Uber and Lyft than I would on a rental car. Once you factor in parking, and I don't have to worry about drinking and driving.
Oh, my God. But the convenience factor alone is probably worth even an extra 10, 20 bucks, right?
It would be. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I actually saved. I'll bet you I spent $15 a day on Uber.
Oh, and, God, that's
Lyft
awesome. Yeah.
Versus a rental car, which probably would have been a little. It would have been over 70.
Yeah, so don't rent a car in L.A., just
never
Uber.
Rent a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
I wouldn't rent a car in any major city anymore, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
Which is interesting.
I mean, with train transportation and Uber, you should be able to get anywhere. Like in Chicago, you can get to the airports.
Yeah.
By train.
You know what? You guys would be a good crowd to talk to this about, because I was talking to this guy at the airport. I feel the modern consumer is a total dickhead. Like, I'm gonna
Gavin,
this guy a one star. Fuck this guy. You know. So, anyways, this is what he was complaining about, that he was gonna get an Uber. Okay.
Yeah.
And the Uber driver called him from the airport and go, well, where do you want to go? He's like, I don't need to tell you. You just got to pick me up.
Whoa.
And he was like, that's bullshit. You know, I'm not gonna tell him till I'm on the highway, because I don't want him turning down my fare. And I was like, well, man. I mean, the reason these Uber and Lyft recruits these people is they say they get all the freedom. I mean, for all you know, this you're his last fare, and he's on the fence about whether he wants to pick up another one. And he wants to see if you're going towards his home. Like, why don't you just tell him?
Yeah.
And the next guy in the queue will pick you up. And if it doesn't work, it's a bolt. The fuck this guy. I'm sending an email to Uber.
Oh, come on.
Just tell him, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was wondering where you guys feel on that. And do you guys, like, I always put in my destination. I just do it, you know.
The Uber.
So I guess some people don't put in their destination. They just hail it. And then they get in.
Yeah, they hail like a cab and say, I'm going to tell you where I want to go when I get in the cab. But let's put it this way. I think you're going to get a better result by saying, I'm here and here's where I want to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then there's no surprises. Nobody's pissed off. Nobody's like, oh, you know.
Say something that could influence his decision. I mean, it's one thing if you're going...
Yeah, if you're going
10 blocks.
You're going 10 blocks, and it, in any direction, who cares, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything outside of that, you should be considerate, in my opinion.
I have a confession.
What
would you do?
I've never used Uber.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you know, you're not out in the city a ton. When you're out, you're probably sober, so
at
you can
all.
Drive yourself home.
Well, yeah.
He has other people with Uber.
Well, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned it on this podcast, so it's extraordinarily interesting. Last year in San Francisco was the first ever New Year's Eve in history where they didn't have a single DUI arrest in San Francisco.
Oh, my God, that's huge.
Yes, that is a true fact. My buddy in Boulder, Colorado, used to have a law firm. It was almost like Better Call Saul. It was specialized in DUI law. He had to change his practice because there are so few DUIs going on now because of Uber and Lyft.
That's great.
And it is, isn't it? It's awesome. And like DUIs are going to be a thing of the past in the next 10 years. Between Uber, Lyft, and self-driving cars, they will. Well, they'll be very rare. They'll be very rare.
A few dedicated folks.
Yeah, a few dedicated folks. Yeah, that's going to be... It's going to be amazing to get a DUI.
People with the 2000 Camaros.
You just see Motley... You just hear Motley Crue. You know? You hear the sound. It's
we got
like
another.
Thunder. You hear the sound before you see it. You know?
Well, I think where Sean's going with this is the technology in the cars and the fact that there are Ubers is... You know, Uber and Lyfts is the fact that your car is going to tell you you're
going to be self-driving.
Your car is going to stop you before you smash anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're going to use Uber because you know you shouldn't be driving, and that the percentage rate of DUIs is going to go way down.
Yeah. And if you get
still
DUI,
gonna be that
you're
dickhead
you're
in a '98 Camaro, blasting AC/DC, six beers in, going, I'll get myself home from the train.
Self-driving car. I'll take control. Screw you. You're not going fast enough. I need a burrito. It's override.
He turned Thunderstruck up to 11. We got to take
it
over.
Automatically dials the bell.
I don't know. I mean, I think we'll be smarter drunks. I think we'll be like, you know what?
No.
You know what?
Human race never gets smarter.
I need a burrito, and I'm not just.
It's like
computer, get me burrito. And you just sit in a car and it.
Donald Trump is winning the Republican.
Don't Trump
nomination.
Us right now.
Don't
We're not Trump.
There are some stupid people out there in this world.
There are.
But back to the original question, I think I could see it both ways. Like
you're talking about notifying the driver where you're going.
Yeah, I mean when you hop in a taxi. I mean,
but it's different. A taxi's legislated, and they have to. I just feel it's unfair for consumers to say, "Oh, I want all the freedom of Uber." Like these fucking taxi, it's over legislated. But then you want them to be legislated like a taxi company.
Oh yeah, no legislation, absolutely not.
Well, no, but they want them to abide by these rules, whether it's through their employer or a user agreement.
No, I don't like that either.
To me, it's unfair to say, "Oh, we deserve total freedom and sharing of information," but then it's like you're not sharing all the information that this rider needs. This driver needs.
There is also like the idea that, you know, I mean, if the drivers have the information, like, are they going to go on the south side of Chicago if they see that's where your destination is or if that's,
exactly.
You know, things
but
like
I
that.
But I feel they should have, if they're voluntarily doing this job, they should, I feel like they're, if that's how you're going to set it up in this sort of, you know, task sharing economy that you can work when you want to work and you're not really going to make that much money, I feel they ought to have the decision to say, no, I don't want to do that job.
Yeah. I think, you know, more information empower the people who are
supply and demand, dude. There's going to be three other guys that'll take the gig if you were not going to take it. I mean, but to Sean's defense, you got to tell somebody where you want to end up going to. There may be people that this is the way there may be a cab driver who's not getting fares, who picks up that Uber call and knows, I know there's no destination, but I'll pick it up anyway because they're bored.
Yeah.
I will say a quarter of the Uber rides I've had were a taxi
Yeah.
Who also is Uber.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you're already, it's the same boat. Like, they're just like, oh, it's a guaranteed gig. I claimed it. I'll be there. I'm there in 5 minutes. I'll go there. Oh, yeah, this trip is worth it for me.
They're like, funny. Have you gotten the, I feel like the cab drivers who are also Uber drivers are sometimes, they're less ethical. Well, I don't know if ethical is the right word. Sometimes they're immigrants, and I hope this doesn't sound racist, but they might be from, like, you know, I've noticed a lot of immigrants, like, you know, there's not as many chains where they, like retail chains, and they feel everything's a negotiation, you know, and I don't think that's racism, I don't know, but they're sort of like, oh, you know.
You have yet to name a race, so you're good.
Americans are used to, what's the price tag, that's what I have to pay.
Right.
Whereas some people are from countries where it's everything's a negotiation. So it's interesting, some of the cab drivers I've met that are also Uber, it's like, I'll go in and they'll go like, hey, why don't you cancel that Uber fare?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw where you were going. I already put my destination, and I'll just do it for, you know, he's like, you saw the fare estimate. It was $12, right? He's like, I'll do it for $12. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. You know, because they don't want the Uber to take the cut. Have you had that? I've had that happen to me.
Sounds illegal.
It violates Uber, but I don't care. I mean, what do I care? I'm like, yeah, sure, you can.
Either way, it's $12
money.
Out of your pocket, cash, so you're probably. Fine.
I have to pay cash, but I don't care. You know,
if see, some people, cash, yeah. but do you have to tip then, too? Do you tip them?
Because
that's the trick.
Tip. I usually tip.
Because Uber's built in, right?
Uber, you're not supposed to tip. That's one of the things I like about Lyft, and that's why more drivers are moving to Lyft, is it's very easy to tip in Lyft. I kind of believe in tipping, you know, for that. If they're cool and it was a good ride, I always tip.
But isn't Uber supposed to bake
Uber
in?
Uber bakes it into its fare.
So you're getting a percentage of the fare.
It's not really. They're sort of bullshitting. They've told consumers it's baked in, but it. I mean, it isn't really baked in if you think about it, because it's cheaper than a cab. So they've just told their drivers you're not allowed to have tips.
Yeah, but the cab driver has to bake in the $175 just because you sat down in the seat.
Yeah.
So
that
I mean,
is true.
So
Uber
I mean,
doesn't have that.
Yeah. Right. So I mean, just because you sat in a seat, he hits the button, you go a block, he's still charging you that automatic, you know, button the seat fee plus the distance you went. So I mean, it's the same thing. That's just my opinion. So, I mean, if Uber drivers don't think that it's fair enough, don't use Uber, use something else. Like, that's my point.
Well,
so,
it seems like, I don't know, everyone I've talked to is, like, moving towards Lyft. They hate driving for Uber, which is interesting. And that's just my experience in the backseat of these cars.
Is Lyft, and I don't know this, but can you just become a Lyft driver this as easily as becoming an Uber driver?
Yeah.
It's just a better pay scale?
It pays better, and they say, like, if Lyft changes it, Lyft doesn't change its agreements with drivers as often as Uber does.
Okay.
Uber basically comes out with a new agreement. Like, suppose this is all from like what drivers have told me, but that Uber comes out with a new agreement every 6 months, and it always screws you when they come out with it.
Got it. Like they dial something down,
down. Yeah. Or they don't cover something that they previously covered, or I don't know.
Well, I remember bringing this up like a couple months ago, but like on New Year's Eve, my brother-in-law said he wanted to just do an Uber thing just for the shits and giggles to see how much money he can make on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I literally have no plans. I have a good enough job. I make enough money, but I just want to see like what I can make in one night on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's pricing too.
Yeah. He's like, it's like the best night of the year, and there's nobody in the suburb of Chicago that I'm in.
Sure.
I've done it. Like I've brought Uber up over the past 2 months. There are limited Uber drivers in our area.
Yeah.
We're 40 miles southwest of the city. There's a ton of people that are going to be looking for Ubers.
Sure.
I might be able to make hundreds.
Yeah.
Who knows, thousands in like a 6-7 hour period.
Yeah.
He's like, so I just lit it up. I did a few Uber drives before New Year's Eve just to like
get a rating,
you know, get it in. Yeah. And then he's like, he lit it up for New Year's Eve, and he did New Year's Eve, and he only did 4 hours. He was going to do like a whole night, but then he realized like, man, this isn't for me. But I mean, he made a couple $100 essentially a handful of rides, right?
Yeah.
Because he realized, like, oh, I got to get this drunk person from this bar to this home or this bar to this bar. And by the time he was able to pick up the next one, it was a long night. Let's put it that way. So he's like, I could either stay out here all night and probably make good buck, or do a handful of rides and just call it even, make a couple $100 and say fine. So yeah, it was definitely worth it for him. He's just some guy who was like, I have no plans on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Seems like a good time to make a couple bucks. And he did exactly yeah. that. He hasn't done it since because it really wasn't like worth his time because in the suburbs, I think there's not a lot of people who assume Uber's around, so they don't look for it. But, you know, that could be changing.
The Lyft driver who took me to the airport in L.A. From where I was staying was kind of funny. I was like, how long have you been doing this? You know, he was really chatty, so we were making small talk. He's like, well, you know, not long. He's like, you know, to be honest with you, they started doing construction on the house next door. I just can't sleep past 8 a.m. anymore. So I just started driving Lyft.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because he don't start his job till like 3 p.m., you know.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, if I'm just sitting here anyways, why don't I make some money?
All right. So that gets us caught up to this week where
well, you guys had some vendor scum. Should we just hop right into it?
Dion, do you want to start with yours? You had one.
Oh, you know, this week's was just it was interesting because, you know, we've got this integration with Skype for Business where my desk phone is tied to my Skype for Business client. So my computer will ring when my phone rings at work. However, I was working from home on Tuesday and a number popped up on my computer. It doesn't help now that, like, and this is true, I don't know if you guys have had this, but like my wife and I we have an Apple ID on our iPhones, and when a phone rings, the handoff goes off on my laptop because it's live on the network.
Mm-hmm.
So if she gets a call on her cell phone when I'm at home working, it lights up on my computer because it's the same Apple ID, it's the same account. I could answer the phone call. My phone or her phone, say my Apple ID, it lights up. So all day nonstop, I just keep seeing these phone numbers pop up, and I'm like, oh, hey, you know, Tara, pick up the phone, it's for you. And I see other numbers come in, and I'm like, oh, wait, that could be for me. So without thinking, I pick up the phone, and it's a Link call, not an Apple, you know, not oh, an so Apple, call, yeah, not my cell phone call. It's a
it's
Link
like a
call.
Vendor calling your office.
Oh my God! So it was, yeah, it was an office phone call that got directed through Skype for Business on my computer. It was a 312 number. It did what it was supposed to do, and my brain didn't do what it was supposed to do. And I picked up that phone call, and
Joe, been trying to get a hold of you for months.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It was basically a woman calling from Mondo who has left me numerous voicemails and emails, and she when I said, hi, this is Dion. She was like, oh, Dion, hey, how you doing? Are you busy? Did you get my email and my voicemail and like all this other stuff? And like, we're best friends. And like, I just wanted to contact you. And it was like this horrible, like I should know her from like, we've known each other for 10 years, vendor call, you know, cold call. I don't think I've ever talked to Laura from Mondo. Okay. You're going to Google it. You're going to go to LinkedIn. She's going to know exactly who you are. You're going to see her picture. She's going to know that I looked at her profile. But at the end of the day, Laura from Mondo was basically like, oh my God, yeah, so do you have any positions you need to hire, you need this or that, recruiting, you know? But the whole thing was she was like my best friend, like from high school, and she was just anything you need, just let me know, you know.
Aren't they out of New York? They're not even here in Chicago.
They're out of New York
city.
So how did she call me from a 312 number? I was just like, what the... I got bamboozled. I got tricked.
Hoodwinked.
Hoodwinked. This recruiter, she played some cards. She I don't know what she did. She
dialed into like a...
Ugh,
she VPN into her... Yeah,
she's got like a Google Voice or some Skype for Business shenanigans going on. And she tricked me into answering my phone. And I spent probably 2 minutes listening to a spiel. And then did you get my email? And I left you a couple voicemails. And, you know, if you need anything. And I basically just played dumb and was like, you know, yeah, I don't really do that, and I don't hire any people, and like we're laying off everybody, so like we're not, you know, I just like try to play.
You should get the phone number.
Business is horrible.
Like, since we've sold all our IT services to this other company, we should get the phone number to whoever the we should be like, you know what, we've sold it all to this person.
Here's what you need to do.
Ramping up.
Yeah.
This big person. Time. And let me tell you, I don't care what this person tells you, he or she has the autonomy to hire many people. Many, many
don't
people.
Don't take no for an answer. You call this IBM support number.
I want you to know, we're frustrated with the lack of bodies when we contact these people. And we would like to see. And I know for a fact we're giving them money to hire. Right. I just mailed the check.
I know three positions they have not fitted a person into for the past year. So yeah. We have open positions. You make sure they fill them.
That's great.
That's funny.
That. That's funny. You should just pick a random.
God. Don't let me sick we these vendors.
Pick, oh, we should.
The
we
vendor should. Scums, sick them on fun. IBM. Just go.
So the only vendor
scum. I'm going to need you, ma'am, I'm going to need you to create a ticket. talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a new vendor of the week that I really like. And it's a new one. It's the first line was, can SharePoint deliver search results like Google?
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes, it can.
Can we deliver as great as the synonym?
Yes.
The company looks so good it has become a synonym
but that,
for effective searching.
That's not why I like the company. I like the company because the name of the company is HiMonkey.
Yes.
Like HiMonkey.
Super
H-I-G-H. And monkey. In their email, there's a picture of a monkey with a little smirk on his face, like he's high.
Yeah.
With a SharePoint necklace around it.
Why would they call it HiMonkey?
I don't know.
Was that just the only domain they could come up with?
But
they figured they
is that like a Family
out?
Guy thing where like the little monkey comes out of the closet and like
I don't know, but why?
It's not a pun or it's not related. You know, I don't under.
We're
don't
talking about it. We're
they
talking
have
about
a marketing
it.
Department or some sort that came up with this.
So check it out, HiMonkey.com.
They're based out of Colorado, where weed search. Is legal.
Next generation search. Yes.
Yep.
SharePoint is better
There's
than Google.
No way SharePoint is. If it, well, I don't know what backs Office 365 searching, but it's atrocious.
Has anything you ever searched for through the web ever been found in your mailbox?
In my Office 365 mailbox?
Yeah.
No. And it's hilarious. Because, I will recall emails that have a very particular word.
You can search for incident number and not find it.
I know we used the word colonialism in this email somehow as, a random aside.
Colloquially.
I'll do a search for that.
Yeah.
And it'll just... We have this daily email digest called Breaking News that is always the first 19 results. I've never
What do you do, John, with those emails?
They're always the first 19
No
results.
Matter what it's, search term you put in,
why
Outlook.
Why would they wait?
Breaking News
emails,
is...
emails. But who searches for... Oh, by the way, I want to search for an email I never opened. Nobody does that.
True.
Why does Office 365...
Well...
Just don't even... Don't even show me unopened emails, because nobody goes back to find something that they don't even know exists. It doesn't even make sense. Every time I search
in
Office 365, the first...
I do.
How do you search for something you haven't read? How do you know what it even says?
Well, it's still in my inbox, probably, because I'm 100 emails behind.
Well, I know, but how do you
but...
even... When I search for something, I'm trying to fetch something I have a recollection of.
Well, that's
and
you.
And I don't need... unread emails at all.
So here's what the funny thing about me is that so I use the client of Outlook, the application installed on my laptop, and I have multiple mailboxes in my client.
Mm-hmm.
So I have error mailboxes. I have anyways. And when I go to search for things, if the term that I'm searching for is too general, I'll get 11,000 hits because it was an error somewhere or is a ticket here or it was, something there. So that's the problem. When I say search all mailboxes, I run into that problem. So I think the search on the desktop is okay because it uses Spotlight for Mac. However, the web one's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
And I will tell you this. I think the reason why you suffer from desktop Outlook search issues is because, and Alec never fixed this, is if you've ever had to reinstall your Outlook client, you have to rebuild your entire database.
Mm-hmm.
And on the new client, you can't do that. So you have to wipe Outlook from your entire computer and rebuild it from scratch.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you to do that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I experienced this a couple months ago because we went to some beta version and I had to reinstall everything. But, without getting too technical, it sucked. It's you should just fix this when I update to the next version.
Sure.
It should be, okay, let's re-index your Outlook and fix this. But search is just a pain.
I want Outlook search updates as frequent as Skype for Business updates.
But here's the thing. John's a tap Skype for Business member.
So what does tap mean?
So the tap means he's literally getting code released that they feel is ready for testing as often as nightly builds.
Oh, you're almost like their UAT line.
Yeah, I'm first.
So John, the funny thing is, literally yesterday, you and I were on Slack, we're sending messages back and forth, and he's like, I've had 3 Skype for Business updates today. And I log in and I'm like, oh, hey, there is an update. And he literally did have an update in the morning, an update at noon.
Another one right now.
And there was an update at night. And it sounded...
I don't know how you...
To me, it was basically like, so some dude released a version that he shouldn't have. Somebody tried to fix it at noon. And then like a manager said, fuck that, reverse everything. Yeah. And released a patch at like 4:00. And that's what happened yesterday. I think this happens like every 3 days with Skype for Business.
I find that Klaus Jorgensen does most of the releases.
Klaus is good.
Klaus just...
Klaus fixes just that shit for Skype for
another
Business.
Another one? So
Klaus at skypeforbusiness.com.
Yes. High monkey to
Klaus. Klaus, can you check out this high monkey? I think it's.
They just start getting these calls. How did you get my number?
How did you get my number? The high monkey. What's this high monkey? Okay.
That's good.
So that's our vendor scum for the week.
And another one.
Oh yeah.
What else you got?
No, I just got another update.
Another update?
Yeah. They'll release like 4 at a time, so you have to do all 4.
Oh, the Skype for Business. Yeah.
Skype for Business.
Well, I just wait till the end of the day.
This might be too technical for the podcast, but there's this. I forget, Gavin. You might have heard this story. GitHub started doing throttling limits for their repos because they found this one project that's like a package manager that's kind of hilarious. So like, you know how you have to download a program from the internet. The way they would get around having to host their own download thing is you basically just downloaded this Git file that downloaded the binaries from a Git repo. And it was super popular. So, like, the way they got around having to host
their
own websites and everything is they used GitHub as a de facto GitHub hosts, like, Node.js. It hosts, like, some of the biggest projects in IT. Mm-hmm. And this little thing was causing more bandwidth than almost every other GitHub
together.
Because it was, like, just popular enough that every install... And I guess the way they also set it up is it did this weird Git history thing where it would do, like, these weird delta calculations. So it's just, like, downloading it. Like, every time you relaunch it, it's just downloading everything. But I don't know. It's an interesting story about, like, I'm sure, like, the infrastructure guys are like, they said it was pegging something like 6 of their servers. It's got to be weird. Like, what the hell project is pegging? You know, you have projects like, you know, JavaScript is damn near like the abstract concept is almost hosted in GitHub. And you're like, what? It was like Pudio Stuje or something. It was such a weird name.
Yeah. I did not hear about that.
It's an interesting story. If you're sort of into GitHub and all that stuff, look it up, please.
What else we have this week?
Without staying in the too technical realm, the SQL Server on Linux was kind of cool.
SQL Server
that
was doing
that intrigued me.
Things,
that intrigued me.
I hate SQL Server. I think it's the worst database in the world historically.
Yikes!
Well, because it's the only database that basically you have to buy a dedicated client for.
Sure.
You know, like every other database, there's all these open source clients, SQL Server just is not that way. And it's a pain in the ass to like debug SQL Server problems and so on. But they're doing some cool things with this new version, and like the at-rest encryption they have, TDE, is really cool and a lot better than like what I've seen in MySQL and even Oracle. So I don't know. I feel like Microsoft on a lot of projects. I always find myself saying this about a lot of Microsoft projects. Where you're like, man, I don't know. Like this new version, like they seem to really be getting their act together and being more open source. And
well, not to go back to the developers, mm-hmm. developers, but like within the past year, I really feel like more than ever, they really are catering to developers who download the cloud stuff, but like, you know,
they seem to be
Steve went there and they loved everything they heard that was coming, you know, Graph API and the Azure stuff. Mm-hmm. And now this, like, I don't know. I think they're
you know, a lot of their projects are going in that direction. And Microsoft SQL Server
seems
to be on the leading edge of those projects. And they do seem to be doing some cool things with that.
Yeah, it is nice. And it's, for me, it always comes with a little bit of, man, that would have been nice a decade ago. Like, seriously. But, yeah, it is nice. At least they're doing it.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. The other thing that I kind of posted, which I thought was interesting, was, and not that I BitTorrent, because we brought that up earlier, but a very popular BitTorrent client called Transmission had a really, really, really interesting, so they had one release that was completely hacked, and ransomware was found for the first time on a Mac client.
Mm-hmm.
Via this Transmission software. So Transmission is basically a torrent software. You go to your Pirate Bay, mm-hmm. you get your torrent, you use Transmission, it, you know, seeds your stuff, you download your torrent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was a release, one very small release that happened in the past month that seemed to expose a ransomware virus on your computer, in that they would encrypt your entire hard drive and ransomware you, in that if you don't spend us $100, we're going to just leave your hard drive encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be, from what I can remember, the first time this has happened on a Mac.
No, I think they said it is.
Yeah. This has happened on phones all the time.
Windows.
This has happened on Windows, you know,
I mean,
you
they've
know,
had
daily.
Sheriff's departments that had to pay hackers to get their evidence back.
The thing that I always found that was interesting about these ransomware people were they always want just enough money for you to say, yeah, I will definitely pay you $50 to get my complete computer back.
And they might be doing it for a part of the world where $50 bucks goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know?
$50, I'm in US, you know I'm in Chicago because you know everything about me. I will give you $50 to get my entire hard drive back. I get my entire hard drive back. I disconnect it from the internet. I do my thing and I forget this ever happened. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's a horrible thing, but it's not like they are being too greedy and that, like, we want $50,000 for your computer. Cause, like, they'll never, the pictures of Emma are not worth $50,000. Like, you can keep 2 years of pictures.
I'm going to tell your wife you just said that.
Everything's backed up. But anyways,
thought a nap was bad. Yeah.
I do have everything backed up. But my whole thing is they know what the price range is, right?
Yeah, they're very good at setting the.
So they're like, we'll probably have 3,000 people say, sure, we'll give you $50, as opposed to 100 people who will pay us, you know, $5,000, right?
Yeah.
So they know what they're doing here. But I just thought that. I'll admit, in my lifetime, I've used Transmission. Recently, I haven't, but it is one of those tool, you know, those software things where you're like, oh my god, and on a Mac, that's mm-hmm. that's huge.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to be the assessor on that who comes in and says, these are all baby photos. I'm gonna put it at about $200 versus, you know, this has got some source code on it. This could be worth, you know, a couple grand.
We got no passwords and we've got 350 pictures of birthday number two.
Right.
So yeah,
or say you're at a local agency and your lead developer has just left and you're not sure where the Subversion repository is. Maybe that could be worth something.
Woo! We have an IP address.
So
and,
can we tell the story?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, really?
Why not?
I mean, absolutely. It's a funny IT story.
Oh, funny IT story.
It's a different
story.
Form of ransomware where you accept a new job and your old employer's like, hey, by the way, what's your password?
So there is a group of people that work for an agency, and their lead developer left them, and he may or may not have left behind all the details regarding where, like, websites are hosted and where the source code it lives and the passwords to get to it. And nobody thought to ask him these questions. He didn't write it down. He didn't put on a post-it note. He didn't send an email.
Yeah,
he just said, I'm giving you 3 weeks notice, which is a week more than you need, yeah. And I'm out of here. That's and you never asked me for important information.
You know, I really thought they would ask where their code is. somewhere in the yeah. exit interview, they would say, oh, by the way,
where's our source code
yeah,
at?
Yeah, where's our application live?
We need three, we need
our
three
only
things
client
from you.
Here. Yeah. We have one client, so where is the code?
So he didn't leave them any of this information, so they don't know physically where the server sits. They know how to log into it. They maybe know the IP address, but they're not really sure.
I hope it's on like a tiny ancient Mac Mini in a closet somewhere in the server room.
Well, I'll
just
say
like
this much. If they know that
the
little about it, they should thank their lucky stars if this guy was actually using source control. Because he might have just been pushing right
yeah.
from his laptop.
I bet it's on his laptop. Yeah.
So
dragging that FTP folder over.
Yeah.
Deploying to production.
Oh, my God.
I
sincerely think that he was running everything from his local laptop. He did upload things to a production website, which yeah. may or may not be a tourism site that anybody can visit.
Who knows if
and,
they have, like, a control history around it.
So anyways, the long story short of this is, from knowing zero about where source code is or how to get to it or IP addresses or anything, the last thing we were trying to figure out was, okay, we know how to get to it. People know kind of where it is, but physically we can't find the exact server, so we don't know if it's being backed up. So I've instructed the team to make sure that whatever they have in production running, wherever it is backed up so that they at least have that moving forward. A lot of the other files on our local server, but at the end of the day, it just seemed like nobody asked the right questions when their lead developer left to prepare themselves for, oh, crap, this guy's gone. What do we do now? And the two freelancers are here who are like, okay, so where do I submit this code to? Because I want to make updates. And they're like, oh, we have no idea where to check that into. So they basically are just probably going to save it as a file somewhere. It won't be in an SVN repository. There won't be an official code check-in. And we've said, okay, well, you know, once you want to take this seriously, let us know and we'll get you set up. We'll get you set up in like a real repository where your users and developers can check the code in and, you know. But that was
to their defense. We've had a sister company that we did business with in the state of Michigan lost their source code for one of their apps, and they actually came to us and asked us if we had the source code, and we're like,
you guys got this?
Nope, we don't have your source code.
You guys are smart. Maybe you just download stuff.
Yeah,
we thought you guys download the internet every night.
Yeah, keep a repository there.
You guys know what we're working on, right?
Yeah,
like 24/7.
Our back office. It looks like the final scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's just disks of the internet. So yeah. we can give you anything you want. You know, we can go to pets.com.
We don't have a lot of bodies in Chicago, but we got a lot of backup drives. That's all we got.
Lycos box.
Rows and rows of backup drives. Yep.
Just tapes.
That's all we do.
Running all the time.
Tapes.
Tape drives like the 70s.
Yeah, just see these. You come in and
just running circles.
It's 95 degrees in the office. Like, yeah, it's
that's
just.
That's the internet,
we got some guy back.
We do that. We found it's easier than source control. We do a backup of every website every 30 seconds.
We got some guy back there. His shirt's off. He's got like his shirt.
Yeah, he's got a shovel. Wait, he's just piling stuff into it.
I'm gonna throw a name out there. Dagfinn Von. He is fighting off the militia of viruses and all the anarchy, and he is backing up the internet for us on a daily basis.
We lost a guy last week.
We got 500 gallons of diesel fuel to power that battery back up. We're ready to go. We're ready for the nukes. Bring it on.
We ain't scared of Putin.
Oh my god. All right. I mentioned that name. I don't think that needs to be bleeped. Don't worry about that.
No, that's safe. No. Nope. That's safe. That's
good. Let everybody search him.
Have I told this? I don't think I told this story on the podcast. Have I told you a story about the call my dad gave me a few weeks ago when he thought he was the victim of ransomware?
No.
Did I tell that
no.
on the podcast?
Did he?
Did you tell it on the podcast? Okay.
Right. Was it on the podcast?
Yeah.
I don't remember it. Yeah. Was that the podcast I don't remember?
Maybe. You okay. Know, which would be all but two of them, but. Dion, I tell it as my opening story every week.
Oh, okay, right, 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 right. Okay, well,
no, but yeah,
good story.
It was one of those fake windows. You know how they bring up the pop-up windows?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Okay.
What were you going to say as the next topic, Dion? It sounded like you were leading somewhere.
Oh, no, I don't necessarily have a specific topic. I don't know if we want to talk about medical dispensaries for marijuana in Illinois.
Oh, is that going to happen? I always heard our new governor was not going to allow
We've already had them.
Well, but I heard it was like you had to pretty much have So like in California, for example, you can actually go up to like a street doctor on Venice Beach. They write you a prescription.
Oh, sure. You're no.
Here
no,
it's
no,
terminal
no.
illness.
But yeah. Like here you have to be like, you have to have like cancer, right?
So in Illinois, the idea was you can petition to become a medical dispensary.
Okay.
There are qualifications that need to be met. There are prescriptions that need to be written. And you can apply for a license with Illinois. This was all at the beginning of the year. So 2016 introduced in Illinois the idea of medical marijuana distribution based on the fact that you have a license and everybody that comes to you will have a prescription for it. And I just John posted that the city that he lives in basically said, yeah, it's completely legal, and then said, maybe it's not.
No, it's totally legal. It's fine. It's just they try to put up a Facebook. We talked about last week.
Oh, the
put up a Facebook page on Facebook, advertising their business, which is completely legit, and Facebook took it down because they have.
Oh.
And I guess
the bots that pull down the fact that you're selling marijuana on Facebook.
Right, and Facebook has thing in their policies in the terms and agreement that says you can't solicit illegal drugs because. At the national level,
it's illegal.
It's illegal.
Yeah. It's a Schedule
I drug. Illinois, it's legal.
Yeah.
So they had to take down their.
We're not going to figure out if you're in a locale where it's legal or not.
Right. They just take it down. And
Facebook's defense. Who the hell is like, well, let me go to Facebook and check these assholes out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so
I'm going to like you on Facebook. Like us on Facebook and get, you know, your first ounce for free.
Yeah. Not sure that goes well with...
You know what? I was at a bar that did something interesting, which probably violates Facebook's agreement, but I thought it was a good idea where... you know how often when you get on Wi-Fi, you have that terms of service?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They just said... All you need to do is check in on Facebook. So you go to their Facebook page when you go onto their Wi-Fi.
Smart.
When I was in L.A. And they said, just check in. You don't have to like them or anything like that. You just check in. And then you have access, you know.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I mean, you are there and, you know, I mean, if I were like hiding from my wife or something, I might say, I can't do this. But then, you know, I shouldn't be on Wi-Fi, I guess, you know.
Yeah, you should be more honest. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty plugged in. I mean, a lot of places you go will be like, you know, text this to this phone number and we'll give you a discount code. And, you know, then you can, you know.
I really don't mind opting in and having the ability, like people who require some kind of transaction like that or, you know, as a part of their service, like having you publicly expose part of your data. Like that doesn't really bother me. Other things bother me where your data is exposed and it's not opt-in. It's just kind of done automatically. But that seems like a fair trade to me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, and, you know, yeah, that's easy. Like, you're not following them. Like, you know, it's a bigger transaction to follow them or like them. And then, you know, their news is in your feed and so on. But I had never seen that before. I thought it was a good idea.
I do think we should talk for like at least a minute or two about the week in transformation that we've all had.
Yeah.
It's been kind of an interesting revelation in the fact that so, you know, as we outsource our IT to IBM, you know, there are certain things that IBM needs to know how, you know,
what
they're supposed to inherit from us. Sure. In order to do things, and vice versa. There are things that IBM won't do that we all need to, you know, inherit and own. But for this team, the tasks that
my old operations team did that.
What?
Nothing.
Dang.
Singing like, but my old girlfriend. Never mind. Yeah. Keep going.
She was so much better than
sex moves.
Maybe.
Right. So we basically.
Listen, IBM, you're being really prude right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
you wouldn't believe
things used to be fast and wild.
Doesn't that go back to the vendor scum of
we'll let you that out, Sean.
We'll let you in the front door, but anyways, so there's been this whole knowledge transfer push to make sure that IBM understands the new responsibilities or at least the tasks that we did that we're not supposed to be performing anymore. Again, back to the ex-girlfriend. But, you know, the idea is, hey, I somebody said I used to do this, and here's what I used to do, so here's what you need to know. Or, I never really did any of this. Don't worry about it. It's a complete stop on your part. There's nothing to really transfer as far as knowledge. Disregard and, you know, continue on. And the funny thing is, in no matter which type of response you gave to IBM in that here's a few things you need to know as opposed to here I did nothing, like leave me alone, this is the end of our conversation, people were getting the spreadsheet that had 8 different tabs that needed to be filled out with a pre-knowledge transfer discussion. Like, before we even talk about what you want to share with me, fill out these 8 tabs in the spreadsheet with all this information, and then I will re-engage you, which I'll never will do, about what we actually need to talk about.
Well, the thing is,
happened in the past week with everybody.
Yeah, we are all told to contact our people.
Mm-hmm. The IBM tower.
Yes, our tower, and say, you know, what is getting transferred or to stop or whatever.
A stop means there's nothing to transfer. I will stop doing this. You will stop doing this. Nothing needs to be talked about.
We all did that, and mm-hmm. we still got contacted by a second IBM person asking us to fill out a spreadsheet.
The first person might be fake, and they're all just different addresses to the same dude. Because we all got, like, whoever we emailed, a third person just came into the picture who I think is the same third person for all of us.
It could have been.
He only activates until you email your contact. It's all like Mission Impossible shit, you know, or something.
Maybe that third person doesn't even exist. This is all a computer system generated. It's all automated. And
yeah.
But that person triggered off the same spreadsheet to everybody no matter what the information, yeah. No matter what the response, no matter what you said in that email to that person that you were supposed to contact at IBM in that tower, everybody got the same spreadsheet.
Can I ask this?
Except for me.
Did you guys get the same estimate, too? How many hours was your transfer? Was it two?
It was like one or two.
That's what Eric's was, too, and mine was two. And I was thinking, what the hell do I do?
It's only 2 hours.
2 hours. Because everything I do is either a week to explain, or it's like, oh, that's not important. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have – the only thing I do that could be explained in 2 hours is, like, the coffee machine. You know what I mean? Like, what
– wow.
Like, what
– well, it was 2 hours a week that you spend doing, right?
That's I thought it was I'm going to train this guy in 2 hours. Oh,
So it was like you spend two hours either a day or a week. I don't know, depend on what your email was. You spend 2 hours a week doing this task. So you need to transfer this to IBM so they can do this task in that 2 hours. So that's what it was supposed to be.
Okay.
So like if you're doing some sort of like server, you know, provisioning or maintenance or whatever, tell IBM how to do it so they can do it in that 2 hours.
If that's the case, I don't.
And again, that was unclear.
Yeah, I don't do. It wasn't clear.
It was totally unclear.
There's no way I do 2 hours of server maintenance.
No.
Per day.
No.
I don't even do 2 hours of server maintenance.
No.
Per week.
So what we did was is our team basically took the managers of all of everybody. So the manager of developers went out and said, we don't do this. Take these three people off your list. There's nothing not to knowledge transfer. End of story. Close the case. And then there were other, you know, a certain other things that were on the list that was like, basically, okay, listen, there's five people that do Office 365 support. You don't need to talk to the five people. You need to talk to the one person, me or so-and-so, that can give you all the information.
Sure,
because it's all the same
stuff. They're all doing the same thing.
Don't ask five people to give you the same information about the same tasks. Just ask one or two people to give you the information. So we finally ended up consolidating the responses because we actually got somebody, whether it was a robot or some automated response, to say, here's a spreadsheet, please fill this out, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the day, that was like, oh, how did that happen? And I think that happened because I've been working with a team, barking every Friday morning, saying, when you guys want this done by April 1st, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? We've done everything we need to do. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So they just send out a spreadsheet with like, what is it, 5-8 tabs in it?
Oh,
with
it's
like
huge.
All
no,
this
it's
information. Like, and like, hey, fill this out. Oh, guess what? Our managers filled that spreadsheet out for everything you're asking for in September.
IBM's hilarious because they always go, guys, we're coming really close to this, and this is very important. And management really – and it's like, yeah, we've done our side. I love the speech and I love the enthusiasm, but
yes.
You know, IBM,
we want to help you, but you need to help yourself.
Yeah, I always feel like everything I talk to them, I'm like, IBM, you need to talk to IBM because IBM is fucking you, IBM. IBM, you don't know it, but you have an enemy, and your enemy is IBM.
You have a dick in your own ass. I'm just letting you know.
Is that how you replied?
Yes. So where else do we go from there?
I'm not sure.
Are we done?
No.
Wait.
What about the there to be honest with you?
What about the cat bot or whatever you wasn't that a topic you were?
What cat
bot?
Cat bot? Oh, no. It was for Gavin, and I posted that like 2 weeks ago. Oh, nobody ever brought it up.
How many minutes are we at?
We're 8 minutes away from an hour.
8 minutes away from an hour. Do we have one? Why don't you give us a final segment to end
the on? Gavin cat bot that I posted. Did you buy that robotic cat that real cats approach and then look at and go, you're not a real cat that I can fuck?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
You have cats.
Yeah. And I love robots, so it's weird. And I love watching animals fuck inanimate objects, so it's like, it's really up my alley. But I just didn't get there.
So there is a toy you can buy from almost anywhere, and it's a robotic cat that just kind of licks itself and sits there and kind of purrs and makes noise and vibrates and does these things.
Right.
So all these people posted their videos where they bought this toy and they put it like in their house. And they own cats. They own real cats, like real live cats. And the real live cats approach this thing and look at it and go, what the fuck are you? Like, and they approach it like, I don't know what you are. And then they like tap at it and they poke at it. And then they kind of like are scared of it. And then as the, you know, the robot kind of licks itself and does certain things, they're like, oh, maybe you're real. And then they realize, oh my god, you're not real, and they like run away and they get scared, and the video is actually hilarious. It's on
and then
YouTube.
Eventually they learn how to love the robot, or no?
They all end up fucking at the end. But at the end of the day, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, millennial, single, alone, has cats, undateable. I'm like the prime demo, so. But yeah,
I mean, I'm allergic to cats, so if I had to like buy a cat, it'd be a robot cat. So, I mean, that's what I would do. I mean,
if I had a child, that's the way I'd go. I'd go robot child.
Robot child? Yeah, I mean, they make robot birds, robot cats, so I mean, it's the next level of evolution for animals, I think.
Well, that's been This Week in Lonely Bachelor with Gavin, so that's my segment.
You have so much more to share, Lonely Bachelor.
Yeah. Next time.
Did we get into Dungeons & Dragons?
No. I'm starting a Dungeons & Dragons group. Anyone who wants to join, you're welcome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, true story.
What about your lessons? I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, taking violin lessons. I think it might have been mentioned. I had my first lesson last week, and it went really well. I went from not being able to read a single note to actually playing them on the violin. So that was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Really cool. And then I'm going to try to date my violin instructor, so we'll see how that goes.
That's where I started.
She doesn't know it yet, but we'll probably get married.
I knew that was the...
I'm waiting for lesson two to pull that one out.
The end goal of all of this was date violin instructor. I knew that. Yes, I knew that.
Yeah.
Sure. Anything else you want to...
No, that's it. Nothing.
How about the bling on your wrist?
Well, I guess I got an Apple Watch too.
Oh, you did? What
yeah.
do you think of it so far?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I mean, it's, you know, it's nothing groundbreaking, but yeah, I like it. It's very useful as an extension of your iPhone and whatnot. I'm really excited to try. Okay, don't laugh. I will sometime this year get around to exercising. So you can play some music from the Bluetooth. So I figure load up an audiobook, get some Bluetooth headphones, and just go out for a run.
You're fit though. You're skinny.
You know, getting there.
You do have to like the guy who buys an Apple Watch like less than 14 days away from an Apple announcement. So you know.
Yeah, that guy's a good planner. Tell you what.
There's never like, I don't know. I feel like there's always an imminent announcement, and you know.
No, whether you buy it now or later, and I guarantee that the new watch will be like more money and not too much more advanced.
Exactly.
And the benefit for Gavin is there'll be a new OS in 2 weeks. So he's already going to get upgrades that he's not even aware of. So,
well, the good news is I can still return it. So,
and you got 30 days. So
I'll have to check the rumor website.
Don't scratch it.
Yeah.
Don't scratch it. For God's sake, don't scratch it. Don't drop it in the toilet.
I'll keep it away from my cats. They might try to
keep
love
it. Away from your cats.
Yeah. Try to hump it.
Don't hump your watch either. I know Sean's in the room. I just want to thank him for the TJ Miller FaceTime last week. I know I mentioned it briefly, but that was mentioned on a podcast a couple weeks ago. I told him on podcast, TJ Miller better fucking text me.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago he gave me an ultimatum that he wanted. He's like, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a dick pic. I want a text from TJ's phone.
And then last week...
And then I made a promise that he wouldn't contact TJ again. He had his phone number.
Well, you did it from your phone, which is smart.
Well, I think he realized, like, I'm not giving this guy.
There's no fucking way.
The guy that wants a dick pic from me? I'm not giving him my... I'm not going to text this guy. Yeah. I didn't ask for a dick pic, did I?
You said, I don't care what it is.
Dick well, pic, I mean, know. It was more
did
of a...
You asked for it? You just said,
yes.
I will accept that.
I will.
You whitelisted dick pics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will tell you that the FaceTime...
I won't report it.
I'm not really sure what you sent me, but the FaceTime that I got was so blurry because your phone's so trash that whether it was his face or his dick, I can't really tell.
He was throwing mashed potatoes into his own face at the very nice restaurant we were at.
all for me?
They
got
TJ. Kicked out of there for you.
God.
We didn't get kicked out.
Nope.
So, it was funny. We go in there.
He's TJ Miller. Come on.
Well, you know what's funny? So nobody really caught. I love TJ and he's doing very well, but John Q. Public, especially 70-year-old.
He doesn't look like anybody that. He doesn't look like. You know, he doesn't look
so
like.
This is what's funny. Like, TJ was held up. He's on the show called Silicon Valley and they shot late. So my friend Brady and I got there first. And we're like, oh, we have a reservation. Because it's like it's not like hard to get into this place if you're just sitting at the bar, but like you're supposed to have a reservation. Anyways, and it is really Musso's and Frank. It's like this legendary diner in L.A. It was really cool. Charlie Chaplin used to go there and get drunk. It's the oldest restaurant in L.A. It opened up in 1908, I think. And anyways, we're like he's like, well, what's the reservation's name? We're like T.J. Miller, and he like looks us up and down. He's like, you're not T.J. Miller. And I was like, what are you, a fan of Silicon Valley?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like, TJ gets drunk in here every night.
Nice.
He's like, and he takes care of everyone.
Yes.
All right, well, that is TJ.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're his friends. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're his friends. He's like, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, I told the jammer story last week and now you're here this week and I just, you know, that was cool.
Jammers.
So to complete the story, like 2 weeks ago, I said, do it. A week ago, I said it happened, and now you're here, and I'm saying thank you.
I delivered.
So, yeah, you delivered, and
that'll
TJ Miller.
That'll be main point of topic in my next performance review.
He was very good. He told me to make sure you got a raise, and he told me to never forget the mashed potatoes he was squashing between his fingers. So, all very good stuff.
I won't be satisfied until I get a Jammers update. What are you rocking this week?
It's anything from, you know, Flash t-shirts to Star Wars, pajama pants. So.
Wow. Okay.
It's, there's a lot going on there.
All right. Yeah. Very fashionable.
You want to FaceTime me? I'll let you know what I've got on.
Do it.
So,
dick pics are not on my whitelist. Just to let you know.
Dick pics not necessary. So. All right, gentlemen.
Let's wrap it up.
That's been the Worldwide IT Guys. Thank you for listening. This has been, I think, podcast number 26. And I don't know. I forget.
Give us the URL. What's our website?
www.itguys.com. Thanks. Have a good week.
See you next week. Thank you.